from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. It's overtime on a Saturday leading into Nationals baseball later today on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 6:15. Then we'll turn it over to Charlie and Dave ahead of game two between the Nationals and the Reds over at Nats Park. Toby alongside Heavy Metal Chris. A lot of good stuff to talk about today. I want to talk about some of the Jaden Daniels discussion I've been seeing recently. We'll break all that down, as well as getting into some of the second half storylines for the Nationals. But one of the things that I saw too, and I want to talk a little Olympics before we get into some of the discussion. One thing I saw, and I'm going to attempt to pull my Danny Ruillier here, a little comic relief. So tell me if this joke sucks or not, Chris. So I saw something around today that the Arena Football League was hosting their Arena Bowl, so their version of the Super Bowl, at a shopping mall. And that's something I didn't even know existed anymore. Shopping malls.
Ha ha. That's a dad joke.
It's a horrendous joke.
It's a dad joke.
But I was pretty proud of myself earlier when I thought of that joke. But I want to talk about the Olympics. So
I love the Olympics, by the way.
I guess Team USA basketball is about to tip it off. Let's see who they're playing. South Sudan. I believe South Sudan is in their group. So I'm excited to watch some of these Olympic games. Now, it is funny because the Olympics seemed a lot bigger probably about a decade ago or longer. But it's still like a big deal to me. But it doesn't seem that way for a lot of people.
You're probably too young to remember the original Dream Team, but I remember how huge the hype around that was. It was so cool at that time.
I was not even born yet.
Yeah, I know. But man, I know you're making me feel old today. But it was everywhere, man. Like, I was living in Phoenix at the time, and Charles Barkley was on the team, and it was just a huge, huge thing. We couldn't, you know, whatever time the games were on, we were watching, you know, didn't matter who they were playing. So fun.
Yeah, I'm excited for it because this American Olympic team is kind of the last one for a lot of the old guard. You know, however you feel about LeBron or Kevin Durant or all these guys,
Steph, too, is going to be on it.
Steph, it's pretty freaking cool when you turn on to watch Team USA and you've got Steph Curry out on the floor right now with LeBron. Devin Booker's in the game. Looks like Drew Holiday and Joel Embiid, which Joel Embiid, to me, is the piece that puts them over the top. Like, their last Olympics, having just, like, Bam Adebayo and some of those guys inside, they really lacked that dominating offensive interior presence. And so if their jump shots weren't falling or they weren't able to get things going, they didn't have someone that they felt like they could just dump the ball into and let them go to work. Now, Joel Embiid needs to stop playing NBA basketball in FIBA rules because they're not going to call his flopping and they're not going to give him fouls and everything. He needs to straight up play basketball. But if he does that, I mean, this team should dominate. And I know you look at some of the other teams, like Canada has some nice stars. They've got SGA. They've got Jamal Murray, RJ Barrett. You look at France, and they've got Gobert camping inside the paint with Victor Wembanyama, and they're going to be a fun team. But I love when people, like, we were having this discussion in the office a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about this. I was talking about it with Craig Hoffman and a couple of the other guys. Craig's actually going to go over to Paris, so that should be fun for him. I don't know that he's going to any of these games, but he should enjoy some of the Olympic atmosphere over there. But when you look at this U.S. team, like, they should win every game going away, and it shouldn't be close. They should just absolutely dominate, because you can talk about, like, SGA and Jamal Murray, and you can name, like, four or five players on Canada. You can name a couple of guys on France. You know, Bilal Koulibaly's playing for
Dream
France.
Dream Team 3, though, should have won everything. And
I agree.
You know?
I agree.
It's more than just talent. That's what I was talking to Linnell about the other day. I was like, if it was just talent, whatever, but you got to make a team.
Well, and that's where I think it's interesting. Like, this team, I think because it's the old guard and their last Olympics, I don't think Kevin Durant's going to care who gets the glory. I don't think LeBron's going to care who gets the glory. I don't think Steph's going to care who gets the glory. It's about some of these other guys. Are they going to buy in? Like Anthony Edwards coming out and saying, like, I'm the number one option. That's a fine mindset to have, but
you think
make
we're
the
gonna
correct
see,
pass.
You think we're going to see one of the, like those Vince Carter dunking
that
over a
awesome.
Seven-footer?
That would be
see
awesome.
See somebody dunk over a Wembanyama or something?
You know he's going to try, right? You know he's at least going to try. So that it's going to be a lot of fun, but I'm excited about that. What other sports do you get into? Because I'm excited about this. I'm excited about some of the golf and everything. But I think my favorite event, and I'm so mad. I'm trying to remember what Olympics it was. Do you remember which one had the U.S. 4x100 relay where they won by like a fingernail coming back? You know, in the swimming event?
Swimming. Was that a Michael Phelps one?
It was a Michael Phelps, but Phelps, I
That's
think.
That's probably Brazil, was it?
It might have been Rio. No, I think it might have been London, 2012.
Oh, maybe.
It was a while ago. I remember because it was like in prime time, and I was so excited to watch it, and I fell asleep. And I wake up, and I see that they won gold, and I'm like, okay, that was expected. Then you see the way that they won gold was by the anchor leg coming back and winning by an eyelash at the end. That was really cool. I love watching swimming. That's probably my favorite event outside of like the basketball and the main stuff that I care about. I think swimming's so fun to watch.
So my favorite swimming event is not one of the pool swimming ones.
Oh, you like the high dive?
No. Well, the high dive is cool. I have a fear of heights, and so it's Ooh. Just like, it's fun watching other people do it. I could never do it. But the one I like is that open water one that's like, it's like a 6K or something like that.
Oh.
Where they swim like out usually in a river or in a lake or like whatever a big body of water is, but it's not a swimming pool. And they swim for like 3 hours or something, man. And the part that I love the most about it is so ridiculous to me. And I love watching it where they like go by that one little section and all these guys have like sandwiches on little like rods they're holding out. And these guys are literally like swimming and eating at the same time. I just find it so hilarious. I love it. I only ever see it during the Olympics, but I love that part.
Yeah, and it's crazy because it's
like eating while racing.
I think the Olympics get underway this week, at the end of this week, right? Or next week, sorry.
Yeah, next weekend it's going to be in
Friday,
full effect.
What is the opening ceremony? Probably next Sunday.
Probably Friday, I would bet.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for it, though. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's pretty cool. I mean, beach volleyball is always fun to watch. Have you seen the venue for beach volleyball right in front of the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
I mean,
that's cool.
I love when you get an iconic city like a Paris.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be in the U.S. eventually. What is that, 2028 in L.A.?
Yeah, next one's in L.A., yeah.
So I love when you get some of these iconic cities and they're able to put them in really cool spots. Like, can you imagine L.A. beach volleyball down on the beach somewhere right by the ocean? Like, it's going to be really cool stuff. So I'm excited to see what they got, and hopefully U.S. kills again. I would love to see that. I'd love to see some domination. Noah Lyles in the 100-meter dash. I'm excited to see how he does.
Yeah.
Katie Ledecky, local, in the pool again. She's going to dominate.
This is probably her last Olympics, right, I think?
Probably, you would think.
Yeah.
You would think, but I mean, she dominates so much. Maybe she takes a year or two off and then comes back and dominates another Olympics. It's kind of tough, though. You know, if you're around that age, you know, if it were somewhere else, it'd be one thing, but it being back in the U.S.
I know, right?
I would kind of have a hard time hanging it up right before an Olympic home game, right? Like, that'd be kind of fun.
Well, the other thing is, with a name as big as hers, though, you know that they'd have her back on to do commentary and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, she could just have the party and not have to do the work, maybe, you know? That might...
I mean, let's be real, though. She wins by so much.
Like, oh, I know.
Even if she slows down, she still wins by, like, a pool line.
Well, there's a couple. I know there's, like, an Australian girl that catches her in one of them sometimes. But, you know, Ledecky's still the favorite. But it's not like she's just, you know, no one's close to her at all. Like, there are a few of those, because she's in a lot of different events. And some of those events, there are people that can beat her. It's not just a shoe-in for her. So.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch that. Are you a summer or a winter Olympics fan more so?
I like them both. The thing I like about the summer, too, is how many games there are. There's
so many events because it's so much bigger.
But I also love, like, hockey and stuff. And, like, my girl loves curling, so I watch a lot of curling with her in the winter. But overall, just I love how, like, every day you just turn on the Olympics and it's like, well, what's on right now? Who knows? Let's watch, you know, whatever. They're doing badminton today. Okay, whatever. And then tomorrow's skateboarding. And like,
well, that's a good one. Table tennis. You got, like, all those, like, little niche sports.
I love it, though. It's like I never pay attention to any of this until the Olympics are on, you know? It's so fun.
I kind of almost feel like I like the Winter Olympics more, though, because, like, ice skating, speed skating to me is awesome. I love speed skating. Hockey's great.
I like the snowboard half pipe where they're that thing is so cool.
I love when they're doing like the different like races with the cross country skiing, and then they kind of come down and lay down and shoot.
The biathlon. Yeah,
I love that stuff. I think the winter I just kind of realized that, but I think the winter might be
the bobsled one is crazy too. It seems like a definitely fast roller coaster kind of thing.
I like the luge
when they just skeleton.
The skeleton.
Yeah, they go head first on the
holy cow. Yeah, those things.
I will never
awesome.
Do that in my life. I'll never even attempt that.
I would love for someone to put on a VR thing, a camera, so that I can experience it in VR, but I don't experience any of the potential.
They don't want the drag, I'm sure. I'm sure they don't want to put like a GoPro on their helmet.
For just go on a dry run where it doesn't matter your speed, but I just want to see what it's like, but I don't actually want to experience any of the potential effects.
Yeah, I don't.
Because I would screw it up so bad. I would screw it up so bad. Unless you can like just put me in the back seat of the bobsled and I'm just there for the fun.
I'd come out of that thing with the sled riding me. You know? And now the bobsled, like, how'd you do that? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. The Olympics about to get underway next week. We'll break it all down along. I'm sure we'll have some good coverage along the way. USA currently up on South Sudan in basketball exhibition out in London, 13-8 in the first quarter. But let's get into some local sports. I want to talk about Jaden Daniels. We've seen some discussion recently when you look up just the various things going on around the sports world. And, you know, it's going to start to pick up more actual football coverage. But on some of these debate shows, they're talking about, could Caleb Williams struggle and Jaden Daniels really thrives and Jaden's in a better spot than Caleb? I want to talk about the fact that they're comparing those two guys and why, if you're a Washington fan, I don't think it should matter one bit. We'll break it all down next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is overtime on The Fan, taking you up until 6:15, and we'll turn it over to Charlie and Dave for Game 2 between the Nationals and the Reds. James Wood down to 7th today, facing another lefty. It feels like this kid can't catch a break. He just only faces lefty. Like, usually you get a nice ratio of facing righties to lefties, especially as a left-handed batter. He was like 50-50 split so far facing lefties versus righties. So hopefully at some point he can face a slew of righties and maybe get into a rhythm, but not going to happen tonight. And I think tomorrow they've got another lefty on the mound in Andrew Abbott. So he just can't catch any luck facing lefties all the time. But I want to talk about Jaden Daniels. So, you know, looking through, seeing different things, what's the discussion around Jaden at this point in the year? You know, the rookies have reported to training camp, and it's kind of getting into football season now. What's kind of the discussion around Jaden Daniels? And when you go on ESPN's page and you're just looking around, you see why Jaden Daniels is better positioned to succeed than Caleb Williams, and it's like a 3-minute segment from Get Up. You had Booger McFarland, I believe, was on Get Up as well, basically saying that Jaden Daniels could end up outperforming Caleb Williams and all this stuff. And while that stuff is great, and it's nice to see Jaden Daniels getting recognition, if I'm a Washington fan, and I don't want to tell you how to feel, but just me personally, I don't care. I do not care. Now, the reason that I look at it this way with Caleb Williams in particular is, you never had a chance to pick Caleb Williams. So why does it matter? If Chicago and 670 The Score, our sister station out there, if they want to talk about how Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels compare, they can do that. Because they had a chance at Jaden Daniels, and they chose Caleb Williams. If you're Washington, though, you never had a chance at Caleb Williams. So I don't care how Caleb does. I care how Jaden does.
I mean, I agree with you. I think they're trying to do like the Andrew Luck RG3 thing, or
it's natural like sports discussion, and that's fine for a national topic, and that's great and all. But if I'm Washington, I'm local here, I don't really care. Like, if you want to say like, okay, I'm looking at how he does.
They
versus...
do play this season though, so there's that.
And still though, like if Caleb is better than Jaden, good for Chicago. Like sure. they took him.
They also are, I think, heading into the season, the two odds-on favorites for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, so. I mean, in the first two picks, they're in good spots. They're likely to start week one. We already know Caleb is. I would assume that Jaden is, even though we haven't officially been told yet. You know, if you're looking at Jaden, you want to say, I want to compare him and Drake May. I think that's a different discussion. I think, you know, for people that, even myself, I'm not going to necessarily look at how Drake May does every single game and like, ooh, they should have taken May, because I personally preferred May. That doesn't matter now, though. May's not wearing burgundy and gold. I don't have a number 5, number 10 Drake May jersey in Commander's burgundy and gold back at home. I do a Jaden Daniels jersey. So it doesn't really matter to me what's going on with all this extra stuff. And so I think part of it is like looking at this discussion that's going to go around these guys. That's fine for national fodder, and they need, you know, topics to talk about, and it's probably intriguing for a lot of the country. For us here, though, I don't really care. I think Caleb's going to be awesome. And you know what? If Caleb ends up better than Jaden, you know what? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You didn't have a chance at Caleb. It's similar to, I saw this discussion going around because I saw our guy Ryan Cleary tweet about it. Paul Skeens and Dylan Cruz. Guess what? We can compare the two all we want.
Saw that tweet too, yeah.
The Nationals never had a chance to pick Paul Skeens because he was taken ahead of them. And you can't trade in the MLB draft up like that. So it doesn't matter. You got your guy. You know, if you want to compare Cruz and Langford, I just think when you're looking at some of these discussions, like, it's easy to get wrapped up in, and you start comparing these guys, you're like, oh, what could have been? When it comes to Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, there is no what could have been here in D.C., in Chicago, there is. And I just don't know, you know, I'd advocated that there was maybe a possibility that they should have traded up. But I don't think that was a real possibility for Chicago to do that. So when you look at Jaden, I'm interested in this because I think Caleb Williams has all the makings. Like, one thing I hate when we do is we put player comps on guys, and it's kind of, the comparison gives you an idea of how they play. Not really who they are, but how they play. So when you hear the Caleb Williams, Patrick Mahomes comparison, well, Patrick Mahomes is already a top 5 quarterback, if not top 3 quarterback all time.
He also has a very unique skill set.
Well, and that's why you put Caleb Williams as a player comp for Patrick Mahomes, because Caleb Williams doesn't play the quarterback position like Peyton Manning.
Sure.
He doesn't play it like Tom Brady. He doesn't play it like Lamar Jackson. So when you put these player comps on them, like, sometimes we try to put like, oh, he's going to be Patrick Mahomes. No. He plays like him.
Exactly. Doesn't mean he's the next.
Exactly right. So when I see Caleb Williams, I think he could be a stud. I think he has a skill set to be a top 5 quarterback in this league. I think he could be awesome. I think he's going to be fun to watch. And obviously, you know, he's got fans locally because he's from the area. So I'm rooting for Caleb Williams. I think he's going to be a really fun guy to watch in this league. His ceiling is probably, what do you think? Maybe best quarterback in the league out behind Patrick Mahomes? Like, that's where it's tough because...
You never know till you see him play. I mean, he could be better than Mahomes come the end of the season. Who knows?
I have a hard time believing.
You never know, man.
And here's where I'm at, because I want to talk about Jaden Daniels specifically in this context. Like, what is his ceiling? And one of the player comps that he gets a lot is Lamar. So... I know they're different players. I'm not saying they're the same.
Lamar started off rocky, too. He wasn't an MVP his rookie year, you know?
Yeah, and he didn't start right away in his rookie year. So there's definitely differences, but I want to take a look at some of Lamar's career and see if we can learn some things from it. But when you look at Caleb Williams and what he's able to do, like, maybe he could surpass Mahomes. I don't think that's going to happen. But I would love to be, you know, I would rather be wrong about that and be proved wrong that he was the best quarterback of all time, because guess what? When you draft a QB number 1 overall and they end up being the best quarterback of all time, that's generally a surprise. I know you're like, oh, well, you drafted him number 1 overall. Well, guess what? Peyton Manning sucked his rookie year. And look what he turned into. Tom Brady didn't get picked first overall. Patrick Mahomes didn't get picked first overall. So when you have a quarterback turn into one of those dudes, you expect them to be your franchise guy. When you get an all-time great, even you're a little bit surprised. Because to throw that sort of expectation on people is a little bit crazy. But let's just say that he reaches, you know, most of what he's capable of. I think that Caleb Williams could be, and this is where it's difficult because they're going to be battling Mahomes for basically most of their career. This is where it's difficult. I don't think anyone's going to surpass Mahomes, so maybe they're just, you know, top two quarterbacks, being second. That's fine. I think his ceiling is right up there, though. Where is Jaden's, though? Because I think we need to look in the context of Lamar Jackson. I know they're not the same player, because I think coming out with Lamar, I think Lamar's a better runner. I think at this point in his career, Lamar is still a better runner. They're different. You know, when you look at Jaden, he's kind of a mix between RG3 and Lamar, where RG3 was very much straight line. Once he got going, he was a track star, but it wasn't very shifty, and that's why he was able to be hit. Versus Lamar, he kind of is a little more careful in how he runs, and he's shifty, and he never gets really squared up. And I think Jaden's somewhere in the middle, where he's not just a straight line guy. He can move a little bit. He can wiggle a little bit, but he's also not strictly the wiggle, wiggle, wiggle guy.
Yeah, he reminds me a bit, too. Like, he is like Lamar, but he reminds me a bit of, like, the Russell Wilson, Tony Romo kind of scrambled, sure, that kind of runner. You know what I mean? Where he extends a play and can, you know, try to make something happen that way, either with his legs or his arm.
And I think he's more dynamic than those guys. Because what you're saying is, like, he's kind of like an improviser. Like, he can get out of the pocket and do something.
Well, he has, like, a vision, I feel. And, again, I think that's going to take time to adapt to the NFL, and I don't think it's that he won't have it. I just don't know that we're going to see that week one.
Exactly.
You know?
And I think he's more dynamic because I think his speed is more than guys like Russell Wilson and for sure Tony Romo. But what is Jaden's ceiling? And so to start that discussion, which we'll do next, where does Lamar rank currently? Because to me, that can kind of set you like, you can still win with Lamar. They haven't yet. They haven't won anything meaningful yet. They haven't been to an AFC championship game. But they were the top seed in the AFC last year. They were one of the best teams in football, if not the best team in football.
Wait, they didn't lose to the Chiefs in the championship last year?
No, I don't believe that was the AFC champ. No, maybe that was the AFC championship.
Yeah, I was like, hold on.
Excuse me, they haven't been to a Super Bowl yet.
Yeah, yeah, it's the Chiefs.
But when you look at Lamar, like, where is he ranked? Because it's tough for me. Like, I've seen this discussion kind of going around the station, and it kind of brought it into my mind. Like, Mahomes is number one. We know that. But after that, it's a bit of a discussion. So where does Lamar rank? Because I think that can show you, like, okay, if Jaden reaches his potential, and I would love him to be better than Lamar, but that's kind of tough to do when you've got a two-time MVP. What can we realistically expect from Jaden if he reaches his potential? If he overcomes it and is better than that, like I said, I'd love to be surprised by that. But I'm not going to expect him to become one of the best quarterbacks of all time. That's just so much to throw on a guy.
I mean, at this point, his career is just starting. Anything is possible. To expect it, no.
Exactly right.
But, you know, there's a certain thing you see a lot of these players hit when they come to the NFL, especially top draft picks. These guys were dominant in college football. You don't get to be a top draft pick if you weren't. And they come into the NFL, and, you know, everybody was dominant in the NFL in college. That's why they're in the NFL, you know. Yeah. And it can be hard to make that adjustment to get to, again, to the top of that heap. And some guys really struggle with that, and they never quite get there again. And other ones do, and you just kind of have to watch it. And I think he has the potential to get there, but we won't know until he does it or not. You know, it's, you got to watch him do it. And you're gonna have to watch him go through growing pains, and he's not gonna look pretty every week his rookie year. And it's just how it's gonna be. You know, it's how does he overcome some of that? Can he, you know, have a bad week or two and still be like, you know what, I'm gonna come out and just have a balling game the next week and. You know, we'll have to see. We'll have to see if he can adapt, and hopefully he can.
I want to take a look at where we rank Lamar. We'll do that next. But I also want to take a look at Lamar's career to maybe see, okay, where are some things that Jaden's maybe a little bit better? Maybe does he need to work on this? And how has Lamar grown as a player in his time? Because I think maybe you can see some of that. And if I'm the Commanders, I'm not necessarily saying they're the same player. And I don't want people to get that out there. I'm not saying that Jaden Daniels is Lamar. But that's someone that he can probably learn from, where he's a two-time MVP. And I think if you watched Lamar last year, that's how I want Jaden to run, where Lamar almost ran in third gear. He didn't really open it up because he didn't want to get hit. And that's how I want to see Jaden play.
Yeah.
So I think if you can learn a little bit from Lamar and see where he's grown, you know, when we talk about these mobile quarterbacks, you know, Randall Cunningham was kind of the first one or one of the first ones. And so you kind of learn from him. Michael Vick kind of reintroduced it in that sort of phase. And Lamar's, well,
Michael Vick was like run first, pass second.
And Lamar's kind of paving a way that these guys can win MVPs, right? Guys haven't like been like Lamar. Like, to me, he's already the best running quarterback of all time. Like, Michael Vick is more nostalgia. He was a good player. He was awesome, but he was never the passer.
His throwing accuracy exactly wasn't the same. And honestly, I think if you took the running game away, Lamar would still be a great quarterback from the pocket.
I agree. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, Lamar is kind of paving the way in a sense that these guys can not only be fun quarterbacks to watch and cause some havoc, but they can actually be really good MVP caliber players. So what can Jaden learn from Lamar's career? We'll break it all down next for you here on The Fan. Welcome back. Overtime on The Fan, talking about Jaden Daniels. And looking at Lamar Jackson as maybe a reference as what you could kind of expect or maybe hope could happen. I mean, this is a guy that's a two-time MVP, so it's kind of hard to say Jaden's got to reach that. But we can all hope, right? We can all hope. But where does Lamar rank? Toby Altizer with you alongside Heavy Metal Chris. So I think when we look at ranking quarterbacks, number one's obvious, that's Patrick Mahomes. If you look at PFF, they have Lamar ranked at number two. And I'm interested where you have him, Chris, because to me, like, I really like Lamar, and I know that, you know, some people are going to come at me after I say this and be quarterback wins aren't a quarterback stat and all that. But I have a tough time ranking anyone ahead of Joe Burrow when the only person to beat Joe Burrow or beat Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game not named Tom Brady is Joe Burrow. He's the only dude. And Lamar Jackson's had his shot. Josh Allen's had multiple shots. And honestly, you could say that Lamar Jackson's had the best shot out of all of them playing at home in the AFC Championship game.
Well, do you think the Chiefs' defense was better this year would be part of the argument as well?
I think it's better. I think it's fine. But
than it was 2 years ago.
It's not. Baltimore didn't put up any points. Like, if Lamar's the second best quarterback in the league, he should put up more than what they score, 10 points?
Yeah.
Like, so to me, it really struggles. Like, I get that the offensive game plan, we can talk about the blame, and I get the football's the ultimate team sport. But I have a hard time taking anybody over Joe Burrow at two.
I'd still take him over Joe Burrow at two.
So. Okay, and that's fine.
And I think part of it is just the versatility, the legs and stuff. It's something Burrow doesn't have. Now, that doesn't mean Burrow's bad. I'd take Joe Burrow too. But I think, you know, if you're just looking at skill sets and stuff, I think I would take Lamar.
So my issue is, I think, so you have him at two. You wouldn't take Josh Allen over him?
No, I don't love Josh Allen. Of the top tier quarterbacks, he's probably the lowest to me.
Really? Okay.
I get why people like him, but he's like that Brett Favre wild card where, like, sometimes he'll just throw these amazing, beautiful passes that come out of nowhere, and then sometimes it's just like interception city. And I don't love that style of play. It's very shoot from the hip, and it's just not what I would want for my quarterback. But.
Yeah. So to me, I think I would have Mahomes at one. I would have Burrow at two. I probably would take Allen. And this is where it's tough because this is just personal preference and, like, how can I argue that I would take Josh Allen, zero-time MVP, over two-time MVP Lamar Jackson? You know, it's a difficult thing. But I think for me, Lamar is probably four or five. But guess what? That's fine. Because you can still win with that guy. And I think that's kind of my point here when we look at this. Like, you look at Lamar's career, and he's a top-five quarterback. And so, you know, I would have preferred maybe more of a pro-style quarterback when you're laying these things out. But Lamar has shown you that you can get a quarterback like this that can go in and become a top-five quarterback in the NFL alongside the names like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and whoever else you'd like to name because he's got so much talent. And the thing that is encouraging if you're a Washington fan is when you go back to their college days, you got to remember, Lamar was not a home run first round pick. Matter of fact, he probably wasn't going to go in the first round until the Ravens saw the value there. And I think it was Ozzie Newsome's last first round pick. He traded back into the first round pick number 32 to get that fifth year option and traded back in to go get Lamar Jackson at pick number 32. So there are some different circumstances, obviously. But when you look at Lamar Jackson coming out of college, I think he was a better runner than Jaden. and we've laid that out. I think he's still a better runner. But Jaden was a better passer, and I don't know that there's any question about that. I know that, you know, Lamar obviously won the Heisman. He was awesome. Jaden did the same thing. But I think Jaden's a better passer and more developed. Now, I think Lamar was probably a year or two younger coming out in the draft, so maybe that plays into it as well. But when you look at Lamar's career, you mentioned a rocky start, maybe not starting the best. Like, he didn't start right away. If you remember, I'm trying to remember exactly, but he didn't start right away his rookie year. Joe Flacco was still the guy. And then I think it was their bye week. They made the switch to Lamar Jackson, which was their last seven games. They went 6-1. They completely revamped the offense. Everything changed, and they went with Lamar Jackson. The following season, 36 touchdowns, MVP only six year. Picks, yeah. MVP. And so if you're a Commanders fan, you almost have to be encouraged because Lamar adjusted really quickly. It took a year. It took a little bit of time, and he didn't start right away. And yes, the Ravens had a better team overall. That's obvious. But it didn't take him all that long to adjust. So if you're a Commanders fan and you're looking and saying, okay, this is a similar type player, again, I'm not saying that Jaden Daniels is Lamar. But in a lot of cases, Jaden Daniels is a better prospect than Lamar. And I think you do have to talk about the age because Lamar was 21 when he was drafted. I think Jaden's 23. So there's a little bit more maturity there with Jaden. But regardless, this is a guy that's played a lot of football. And I think, like you said, his rookie year, there might be some growing pains with Jaden where there's going to be some times where he tries to get outside the pocket. Maybe he throws a bad pick and it's stuff that, you know, worked in college, doesn't work at the pro level. But I think once he gets adjusted, I mean, there's a chance that this guy could be really something in year two. And everyone's talking about the Texans and looking what they did and talking about the Commanders and saying, could Jaden Daniels have a C.J. Stroud type of effect? They're two totally different quarterbacks. But when you see that Lamar was able to, in year two, come out and set the world on fire and win MVP, I'm not saying Jaden's going to do it.
The C.J. Stroud thing is also, that honestly seems much more likely for like Caleb Williams to be in. He got put onto a team that was kind of already set up for him. You know what I mean?
I disagree on that. I disagree on that. Like, Nico Collins hadn't had a year with 500 yards yet. Yeah. So, like, he kind of built things with the guys, and they had talent.
Sure.
Like, I think Nico Collins is more talented
but
than
the Commanders. It was 25 new players on the team this year.
Oh,
nobody's
absolutely.
Even played together. It's not the same as the Texans last year.
No, in that sense, you're 100% right. Like, the core of this roster has completely changed. But I want to continue talking about this because I think when you look at Jaden, like, what is his ceiling? When you look at Lamar, we both say he's top five quarterbacks. I say he's somewhere four or five. You say he's probably two, which is fine. What do you think Jaden can get to? Because I think that's the exciting thing if you're a Commanders fan, is Lamar won MVP in year two. We're just a couple years into his career, like 6 years into his career, and he's been on the doorstep of a Super Bowl. He's won two MVPs. Like, what could Jaden Daniels become? I know we want to temper expectations, all that. To heck with that. Let's have some fun. What could Jaden become? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. We'll talk more about Jaden Daniels next here on The Fan. I mean, USA is just dominating. Oh, wait. They're down by 12 to South Sudan?
Doesn't look good right now,
half?
Does it?
Chris, what the heck?
I don't know, man. They better not be doing this. This is one of these bad years this year, man. I can't
stand it. I cannot stand it. I wish I understood it. And I know it's not as simple as, like, if you plugged all these dudes into 2K and you just played. Like, I get that. It's not like that. But what the heck? Steph Curry, LeBron James, Joel Embiid. I know Kevin Durant's
not
playing.
Devin Booker
today.
Out there right
Devin
now.
Booker.
I just saw him. Yeah.
I don't care. Like, all these dudes. These dudes are getting paid 40 and 50 mil a year, if not more. These dudes on South Sudan are playing in Australia and haven't even gone to college yet.
Well, I wonder if a big part of it is, you know, NBA doesn't like to play defense as much anymore, you know?
I don't get it. Whatever. Let's talk about a team that's hopefully on the come up. And maybe they'll win a championship, unlike USA basketball, if they keep playing like this. and that's the Washington Commanders. We're talking about Jaden Daniels. Like, what could he become? Like, what is his ceiling? When we look at Lamar, and I kind of talked about how he's kind of paving the path for quarterbacks of that ilk. I mean, Lamar's a top five guy, won a couple of MVPs. Jaden could do that, I think. I think he's a better passer coming out than what Lamar was. Different style runner. Again, I'm not necessarily saying these guys are the same, but I think it's a blueprint that you can at least look at. And Lamar, in his second season, was able to take over a Ravens team and lead an MVP season. So, you know, if you're dreaming a little bit, what do you think Jaden could become? Let's get out to Jack, who is in Springfield. Jack, yeah. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon. So, here's what I'm thinking. I think Daniels has all the talent in the world, but I'm truly concerned because of his size. Lamar Jackson has got, let's think, maybe 50 to 60 pounds on him.
I disagree
when
on
you're
that.
Playing in.
No,
hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. While you're playing in the league, not beefing up before it, but look what Daniels played through his whole season. He plays less than 200 pounds in the middle of the season. Lamar Jackson is solid at 6'1", 220, 225. So now when you compared him with Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes comes from a baseball background. So Patrick ran to get out of trouble, and many times Lamar ran to get into trouble, meaning up the middle. Patrick ran on the outside, he's got good legs, but he went on the outside. Daniels, look, I'm not wishing any bad ill will on this fella, but once he starts sweating it out it's game to game, he's going to have a real hard time keeping his weight. And when he does, that's when the big boys start closing in. It's like the white sharks eating the tuna. I'll shut up and listen to you after.
Yeah, Jack, appreciate the phone call. I think it's a valid point, and it's the big, you know, the big...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Overtime on The Fan, talking about Jaden Daniels. And looking at Lamar Jackson as maybe a reference as what you could kind of expect or maybe hope could happen, I mean, this is a guy that's a two-time MVP, so it's kind of hard to say Jaden's got to reach that, but we can all hope, right? We can all hope. But where does Lamar rank? Toby Altizer with you alongside Heavy Metal Chris. So I think when we look at ranking quarterbacks, number one's obvious, that's Patrick Mahomes. If you look at PFF, they have Lamar ranked at number two. And I'm interested where you have him, Chris. Because to me, like, I really like Lamar. And I know that, you know, some people are going to come at me after I say this and be quarterback wins aren't a quarterback stat and all that. But I have a tough time ranking anyone ahead of Joe Burrow when the only person to beat Joe Burrow or beat Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game not named Tom Brady is Joe Burrow. He's the only dude. And Lamar Jackson's had his shot. Josh Allen's had multiple shots. And honestly, you could say that Lamar Jackson's had the best shot out of all of them playing at home in the AFC Championship game.
Well, do you think the Chiefs' defense was better this year would be part of the argument as well?
I think it's better. I think it's fine. But
than it was 2 years ago.
It's not. Baltimore didn't put up any points. Like, if Lamar's the second best quarterback in the league, he should put up more than what they score, 10 points?
Yeah.
Like, so to me, it really struggles. Like, I get that the offensive game plan, we can talk about the blame, and I get that football's the ultimate team sport. But I have a hard time taking anybody over Joe Burrow at two.
I'd still take him over Joe Burrow at two.
So. Okay, and that's fine.
And I think part of it is just the versatility, the legs and stuff is something Burrow doesn't have. Now, that doesn't mean Burrow's bad. I'd take Joe Burrow too, but I think, you know, if you're just looking at skill sets and stuff, I think I would take Lamar.
So my issue is, I think, so you have him at two. You wouldn't take Josh Allen over him?
No. No, I don't love Josh Allen. Of the top tier quarterbacks, he's probably the lowest to me.
Really? Okay.
I get why people like him, but he's like that Brett Favre wild card where, like, sometimes he'll just throw these amazing, beautiful passes that come out of nowhere, and then sometimes it's just like interception city. And I just, I don't love that style of play. It's very shoot from the hip, and it's just not what I would want for my quarterback. But.
Yeah. So to me, I think I would have Mahomes at one. I would have Burrow at two. I probably would take Allen. And this is where it's tough because this is just personal preference. And, like, how can I argue that I would take Josh Allen, zero-time MVP, over two-time MVP Lamar Jackson? You know, it's a difficult thing. But I think for me, Lamar is probably four or five. But guess what? That's fine. That's fine. Because you can still win with that guy. And I think that's kind of my point here when we look at this. Like, you look at Lamar's career, and he's a top-five quarterback. And so, you know, I would have preferred maybe more of a pro-style quarterback when you're laying these things out. But Lamar has shown you that you can get a quarterback like this that can go in and become a top-five quarterback in the NFL alongside the names like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and whoever else you'd like to name, because he's got so much talent. And the thing that is encouraging if you're a Washington fan is when you go back to their college days, you got to remember, Lamar was not a home run first-round pick. Matter of fact, he probably wasn't going to go in the first round until the Ravens saw the value there. And I think it was Ozzie Newsome's last first-round pick. He traded back into the first-round pick number 32 to get that fifth-year option and traded back in to go get Lamar Jackson at pick number 32. So there are some different circumstances, obviously. But when you look at Lamar Jackson coming out of college, I think he was a better runner than Jaden, and we've laid that out. I think he's still a better runner. But Jaden was a better passer, and I don't know that there's any question about that. I know that, you know, Lamar obviously won the Heisman. He was awesome. Jaden did the same thing. But I think Jaden's a better passer and more developed. Now, I think Lamar was probably a year or two younger coming out in the draft, so maybe that plays into it as well. But when you look at Lamar's career, you mentioned a rocky start, maybe not starting the best. Like, he didn't start right away. If you remember, I'm trying to remember exactly, but he didn't start right away his rookie year. Joe Flacco was still the guy. And then I think it was their bye week. They made the switch to Lamar Jackson, which was their last seven games. They went 6-1. They completely revamped the offense. Everything changed, and they went with Lamar Jackson. The following season, 36 touchdowns, MVP only six year. Picks, yeah. MVP. And so if you're a Commanders fan, you almost have to be encouraged because Lamar adjusted really quickly. It took a year. It took a little bit of time, and he didn't start right away. And yes, the Ravens had a better team overall. That's obvious. But it didn't take him all that long to adjust. So if you're a Commanders fan and you're looking and saying, okay, this is a similar type player. Again, I'm not saying that Jaden Daniels is Lamar. But in a lot of cases, Jaden Daniels is a better prospect than Lamar. And I think you do have to talk about the age because Lamar was 21 when he was drafted. I think Jaden's 23. So there's a little bit more maturity there with Jaden. But regardless, this is a guy that's played a lot of football. And I think, like you said, his rookie year, there might be some growing pains with Jaden where there's going to be some times where he tries to get outside the pocket. Maybe he throws a bad pick and it's stuff that, you know, worked in college, doesn't work at the pro level. But I think once he gets adjusted, I mean, there's a chance that this guy could be really something in year two. And everyone's talking about the Texans and looking what they did and talking about the Commanders and saying, could Jaden Daniels have a C.J. Stroud type of effect? They're two totally different quarterbacks. But when you see that Lamar was able to, in year two, come out and set the world on fire and win MVP, I'm not saying Jaden's going to do it.
The C.J. Stroud thing is also, that honestly seems much more likely for like Caleb Williams to be in. He got put onto a team that was kind of already set up for him. You know what I mean?
I disagree on that. I disagree on that. Like, Nico Collins hadn't had a year with 500 yards yet. Yeah. So, like, he kind of built things with the guys, and they had talent.
Sure.
Like, I think Nico Collins is more talented
than the Commanders. It was like 25 new players on the team this year.
Oh,
nobody's
absolutely.
Even played together. It's not the same as the Texans last year.
No, in that sense, you're 100% right. Like, the core of this roster has completely changed. But I want to continue talking about this because I think when you look at Jaden, Like, what is his ceiling? When you look at Lamar, we both say he's top five quarterbacks. I say he's somewhere four or five. You say he's probably two, which is fine. What do you think Jaden can get to? Because I think that's the exciting thing if you're a Commanders fan, is Lamar won MVP in year two. We're just a couple years into his career, like 6 years into his career, and he's been on the doorstep of a Super Bowl. He's won two MVPs. Like, what could Jaden Daniels become? I know we want to temper expectations and all that. To heck with that. Let's have some fun. What could Jaden become? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. We'll talk more about Jaden Daniels next here on The Fan. I mean, USA is just dominating. Oh, wait. They're down by 12 to South Sudan?
Doesn't look good right now,
half?
Does it?
Chris, what the heck?
I don't know, man. They better not be doing this. This is one of these bad years this year, man. I can't
stand it. I cannot stand it. I wish I understood it. And I know it's not as simple as, like, if you plugged all these dudes into 2K and you just played. Like, I get that. It's not like that. But what the heck? Steph Curry, LeBron James, Joel Embiid. I know Kevin Durant's
not
playing.
Devin Booker out there right
Devin
now.
Booker.
I just saw him. Yeah.
I don't care. Like, all these dudes. These dudes are getting paid $40 and $50 million a year, if not more. These dudes on South Sudan are playing in Australia and haven't even gone to college yet.
Well, I wonder if a big part of it is, you know, NBA doesn't like to play defense as much anymore, you know?
I don't get it. Whatever. Let's talk about a team that's hopefully on the come up, and maybe they'll win a championship, unlike USA basketball, if they keep playing like this. and that's the Washington Commanders. We're talking about Jaden Daniels. Like, what could he become? Like, what is his ceiling? When we look at Lamar, and I kind of talked about how he's kind of paving the path for quarterbacks of that ilk. I mean, Lamar's a top five guy, won a couple of MVPs. Jaden could do that, I think. I think he's a better passer coming out than what Lamar was. Different style runner. Again, I'm not necessarily saying these guys are the same, but I think it's a blueprint that you can at least look at. And Lamar, in his second season, was able to take over a Ravens team and lead an MVP season. So, you know, if you're dreaming a little bit, what do you think Jaden could become? Let's get out to Jack, who is in Springfield. Jack, yeah. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon. So here's what I'm thinking. I think Daniels has all the talent in the world, but I'm truly concerned because of his size. Lamar Jackson has got, let's think, maybe 50 to 60 pounds on him.
I disagree
when you're
that.
Playing in.
No,
hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. While you're playing in the league, not beefing up before it, but look what Daniels played through his whole season. He plays less than 200 pounds in the middle of the season. Lamar Jackson is solid at 6'1", 220, 225. So now when you compared him with Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes comes from a baseball background. So Patrick ran to get out of trouble, and many times Lamar ran to get into trouble, meaning up the middle. Patrick ran on the outside, he's got good legs, but he went on the outside. Daniels, look, I'm not wishing any bad ill will on this fella, but once he starts sweating it out and, you know, it's game to game, he's going to have a real hard time keeping his weight. And when he does, that's when the big boys start closing in. It's like the white sharks eating the tuna. I'll shut up and listen to you after.
Yeah, Jack, appreciate the phone call. I think it's a valid point, and it's the big, you know, the big holding point here on Jaden Daniels, the big sticking point on Jaden Daniels is his size. And, you know, you're just looking here on what College Football Reference had him listed at 6'3", 185. I think he's bigger than that now, maybe up to 195, 200. And Lamar was listed last year at 6'2", 215. So, yes, probably about a 20-pound difference there, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. And so, yeah, there's definitely a size difference. I will say I was very worried about Jaden's size until I saw him in person at OTAs, at Mandatory Minicamp, and then I wasn't as worried. Not to say that he's some big dude or... And I'm sure, you know, like he's laying out there in the season, he's not going to be his biggest self. He's not going to be hitting the weights as hard to bulk up. He's going to be in season more so maintaining. And so he's probably going to lose some weight during the season and maybe get back down to hopefully not a 185, but maybe even down to a 185. And so I just look at his size, though, and I think he's okay. But he has to learn how to protect himself. That's the big thing. And what he laid out there was really good in that Patrick is kind of working outside the pocket. He's kind of running around and not trying to do too much. Versus at times, Lamar's running up the middle and doing things, and you're running into the middle of the defense, which can lead to injuries because that's where the big dudes are. And they're going to try to put a nice licking on you. Whereas Jaden in college would do some of that stuff. I mean, some of the hits that he would take were Looney Tunes-like, where he's running up the middle and he has no idea what to do, and it's like he hit the wrong button on his controller and jumped. I don't know what he was doing sometimes. He can't do any of that. He just simply can't. And that was the issue with RG3. He didn't know how to take care of himself. And so when you look at Lamar from his rookie season to where he is now, I would show Jaden the evolution of how he ran. Where before it was running into some trouble, he would sometimes take some hits. And I thought Lamar's generally done a good job of taking care of himself, but he also would miss some time at times with injuries. Last year he didn't. Why? Because he didn't even run full out. You know, like when you look at, you know, say it's 3rd and 8. If Jaden runs for the first down and picks up 10 yards, I don't need 18 yards and risking a hit. Get down at 12. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to have to figure out the ways to take care of himself, and that's going to be huge because his size is always going to be an issue. He's just never going to be a big dude. Let's take a break. I want to continue talking about Jaden, though. What could Jaden Daniels become? Like, what is his ceiling? We'll talk about it more next. You're on the Fan. I mean, USA is just dominating. Oh, wait. They're down by 12 to South Sudan?
Doesn't look good right now, does it?
Chris, what the heck?
I don't know, man. They better not be doing this. This is one of these bad years this year, man. I can't
stand it. I cannot stand it. I wish I understood it, and I know it's not as simple as, like, if you plugged all these dudes into 2K and you just played. Like, I know. It's not like that. But what the heck? Steph Curry, LeBron James, Joel Embiid. I know Kevin Durant's
not
playing.
Devin Booker out there right now. I just saw him. Yeah.
I don't care. Like, all these dudes. These dudes are getting paid $40 and $50 million a year, if not more. These dudes on South Sudan are playing in Australia and haven't even gone to college yet.
Well, I wonder if a big part of it is, you know, NBA doesn't like to play defense as much anymore, you know?
I don't get it. Whatever. Let's talk about a team that's hopefully on the come up. And maybe they'll win a championship, unlike USA basketball, if they keep playing like this. and that's the Washington Commanders. We're talking about Jaden Daniels. Like, what could he become? Like, what is his ceiling? When we look at Lamar, and I kind of talked about how he's kind of paving the path for quarterbacks of that ilk. I mean, Lamar's a top five guy, won a couple of MVPs. Jaden could do that, I think. I think he's a better passer coming out than what Lamar was. Different style runner. Again, I'm not necessarily saying these guys are the same, but I think it's a blueprint that you can at least look at. And Lamar, in his second season, was able to take over a Ravens team and lead an MVP season. So, you know, if you're dreaming a little bit, what do you think Jaden could become? Let's get out to Jack, who is in Springfield. Jack, yeah. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon. So here's what I'm thinking. I think Daniels has all the talent in the world, but I'm truly concerned because of his size. Lamar Jackson has got, let's think, maybe 50 to 60 pounds on him.
I disagree
when you're
that.
Playing in.
No,
hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. While you're playing in the league, not beefing up before it, but look what Daniels played through his whole season. He plays less than 200 pounds in the middle of the season. Lamar Jackson is solid at 6'1", 220, 225. So now when you compared him with Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes comes from a baseball background. So Patrick ran to get out of trouble, and many times Lamar ran to get into trouble, meaning up the middle. Patrick ran on the outside, he's got good legs, but he went on the outside. Daniels, look, I'm not wishing any bad ill will on this fella, but once he starts sweating it out in the, you know, it's game to game, he's going to have a real hard time keeping his weight. And when he does, that's when the big boys start closing in. It's like the white sharks eating a tuna. I'll shut up and listen to you after.
Yeah, Jack, appreciate the phone call. I think it's a valid point, and it's the big, you know, the big holding point here on Jaden Daniels, the big sticking point on Jaden Daniels is his size. And, you know, you're just looking here on what College Football Reference had him listed at 6'3", 185. I think he's bigger than that now, maybe up to 195, 200. And Lamar was listed last year at 6'2", 215. So, yes, probably about a 20-pound difference there, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. And so, yeah, there's definitely a size difference. I will say I was very worried about Jaden's size until I saw him in person at OTAs, at mandatory minicamp, and then I wasn't as worried. Not to say that he's some big dude, or, and I'm sure, you know, like he's laying out there in the season, he's not going to be his biggest self. He's not going to be hitting the weights as hard to bulk up. He's going to be in season more so maintaining, and so he's probably going to lose some weight during the season and maybe get back down to hopefully not a 185, but maybe even down to a 185. And so I just look at his size, though, and I think he's okay, but he has to learn how to protect himself. That's the big thing. And what he laid out there was really good in that Patrick is kind of working outside the pocket. He's kind of running around and not trying to do too much, versus at times Lamar's running up the middle and doing things, and you're running into the middle of the defense, which can lead to injuries because that's where the big dudes are, and they're going to try to put a nice licking on you. Whereas Jaden in college would do some of that stuff. I mean, some of the hits that he would take were Looney Tunes-like, where he's running up the middle and he has no idea what to do, and it's like he hit the wrong button on his controller and jumped. I don't know what he was doing sometimes. He can't do any of that. He just simply can't. And that was the issue with RG3. He didn't know how to take care of himself. And so when you look at Lamar from his rookie season to where he is now, I would show Jaden the evolution of how he ran. Where before it was running into some trouble, he would sometimes take some hits. And I thought Lamar's generally done a good job of taking care of himself, but he also would miss some time at times with injuries. Last year he didn't. Why? Because he didn't even run full out. You know, like when you look at, you know, say it's 3rd and 8. If Jaden runs for the first down and picks up 10 yards, I don't need 18 yards and risking a hit. Get down at 12. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to have to figure out the ways to take care of himself, and that's going to be huge because his size is always going to be an issue. He's just never going to be a big dude. Let's take a break. I want to continue talking about Jaden, though. What could Jaden Daniels become? Like, what is his ceiling? We'll talk about it more next here on The Fan.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.